Hi, this is Sandra Roscoe Wolf, culture agent columnist for LB Post, and I'm here with
Gaston Nogues from Ball Nogues Studio.
And we're here today at the Expo building in Bixby Knolls. And what are you doing here?
We are installing a piece that we made for the space over here at for the Expo, and we just started working.
So, and the piece, it's a new piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically for the space?
Yeah, we made, I mean, most of, or I should say all of the work that we do is site-specific in one way or another, meaning that we try to kind of tailor it for the space, and either what's going on in the space or the kind of type of space that it is. So each thing we study and we look at in several different ways to kind of see how we're going to react to it or work in that space. So this is, you know, basically something along the lines of that.
Excellent. So, and then why don't you talk a little bit about the process of the, you know, well, why don't you
sure.
describe the piece a little bit and then talk about the process.
The piece is belongs to a series of projects that we're doing. They're like suspension projects. So they're the name of the series is a suspension series, meaning that we work primarily with string or with material that hangs from two points, and we, depending on the length, it has different the length between those two points. It hangs either lower or higher, and by controlling the length and the points where it hangs, we basically create these formal types of spaces that also incorporate color into the string. The string, I guess, is kind of a complicated process to describe, especially verbally. It's tough, but basically it's a set of strings hanging one after the other, starting at one and progressing to an X number, usually in the many hundreds, sometimes in the thousands of parts. So our work involves a lot of parts.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of these strings is a part, and because each one of these parts has been calculated and computed in relationship to its neighbor, when you assemble them all together, they come together to kind of to describe a form, to create a shape. And on top of that, since we run the string through a custom-made machine, which we created to do this type of work, we have the ability to put color on the string in very discrete locations according to data that we also extract from our computer modeling. So
this is a machine that you guys built yourselves?
Yeah, we designed it and built it.
And it has a name, right?
Yeah, it's called the Installator 1 with a variable automation module or something like that. The second part of the name is really long and I never remember it.
So, yeah, and so the string goes through this device.
Mm-hmm.
It's measured.
It's measured, painted with color, and cut to a specific length.
And it's all based on a computer software.
Yeah,
that you guys also developed.
The computer software was basically developed first, and it was then the machine came after.
So you were using the computer to figure out the lengths of the strings and
right.
whatnot, and then you were cutting them by hand.
We started cutting them out by hand in one of the first pieces that we did. That was in Chicago, and so the process of cutting it by hand and how we approached that and managing all of the parts and all of those things informed in many ways the way that this machine basically works. So in essence, the machine, like we like to see it as extending kind of the possibility of what the hand can do alone, because now introducing color along the string makes each string a much more complex thing than just a measured length, because now we have multiple measurements and different colors and colors overlapping one another. So, you know, it's allowed us, I guess, to expand the capability of what we could do with the hand. And it's also pushed the software a little further, because now we've incorporated the ability to think in color into the software as well. So, you know, we always work in a way in which we use a lot of digital technology, but we also are very interested in handcraft and the process of putting something together with your hands. I mean, there's nothing out there yet that can, you know, you plug it in, you come back 3 days later, and it's done. It will one day happen, I would think. But you know, we try to look at ways in which some, or try to explore techniques of being able to kind of realize, or how we realize these things. So oftentimes, you know, that involves doing work with your hand, and we try to incorporate the machine and the hand together and kind of push one another that way.
Well, even in the short time that the strings that you're hanging today have been up, already you can sort of see emerging from the pattern something really kind of organic about,
yeah.
Even though it has this this very precise quality to it,
yeah.
The end result, I have a feeling anyway, is something really quite organic looking, and I'm sure that's...
This one's very wispy and very smoke-like, and there's always something, I mean, for me, very interesting in when these things start to happen, because until you start putting it together, it's only existed basically in a digital realm. So when we look at what we see in the computer, we have to kind of try to understand what it's going to be like in reality, because the computer doesn't, I mean, even though each representation of the string, each string in the computer is an exact representation of what it would be in real life, there's always a leap that you have to make when you're looking at those things. So it's, for me, it's pretty exciting when you start putting it together and you start to see it kind of develop in a way. It's like a photograph in a way, because at first one string doesn't look like anything, then you put two, three, four, and you start adding them, and then something, like you said, starts to kind of emerge out of that. And then when the color starts to happen with all that, it's pretty interesting. It's also a little scary too, because sometimes if something, like something goes, you have to trust things quite a bit, because you don't often know if something's wrong until, you know, you're putting it in there. There's a couple of strings that look off, and I can't figure out why. So, but we just started, so we'll see.
Right. Now, what was the impetus for exploring this technique? I guess you call it a technique.
Well, I mean, we've been doing quite a bit of temporary installation type of work, and oftentimes we get approached to do these types of projects, and, you know, many times they're out of town or the budgets are very low. So we started to think about, like, working in a way in which we can create space, but without having to use a lot of material. It's a very solid material. So how can we make something solid out of almost nothing? So then the string kind of grew out of that, and also it grew a little bit out of also we kind of reference or look at the work of Fry Otto. I mean, a little bit in the work of Fry Otto, because he had done studies in catenary constructions.
Sure.
And also there was the curtains at the Four Seasons Hotel in New York, which are Philip Johnson building, but the interior of the bar restaurant there has these curtains which are made out of hanging chain, hanging, you know, like these smiles one after the other, hanging right over the air registers going up the space. So they, in a way, kind of express the air currents moving up. So that, you know, all of those things, I think, were references when we started kind of exploring these types of pieces. And also the technique or the craft of making a latch hook rug and, you know, what that involves. Like, you have a pattern, you have, then you have a material that fits that pattern in specific ways. And, you know, and there's a technique for kind of making those types of objects. So we try to look at that technique, but enlarge it in an architect, like think about it in an architectural scale.
Right. And you do other kinds of work as well. I know that you've done some stuff for the big event out in the desert.
Coachella, yeah.
Coachella, yeah. You've done a couple things for there, right?
Yeah. I mean, the approach to the work is the type of work, I guess it's the same, but the venues are different. I mean, we always look at, we explore many different places to work, and because, I mean, we see, you know, that for us, that's an event, right? So that has a different, the space that we try to create has a different type of usage. That's, you know, more of like a their bacchanal and, you know, circus and those types of environments than the gallery type projects. But I mean, so the approach to working and the way that we approach those types of commissions is very much the same that we would approach something like this. We just weigh it through a different lens, I guess you could say, because it's going to be used in a different way. Right. We've done a bunch of things like that. We did a project at PS1 for a summer outdoor nightclub, which is a project that it's a competition that they do every year. And we won that one year, so we did that. And Coachella, we've done both under our studio name, and we've also done it as a teaching studio, or as a teaching, teaching with at SIARC, Southern California Institute of Architecture. So we taught a class there in which we exposed our students to all of these things, and how do you actually think about something in the digital realm and then with digital complexity, but find a way to actualize it to make it happen. So,
with the digital visualization the process that you use to preliminary visualization of the work, have you tried to do anything that's sort of representational in the ink, not in the strings part of it, but in the image, color.
Sure. You know, that's something that I think we look at this machine and we kind of look at its potential, and for us it's almost like it's like three-dimensional painting.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I was
thinking. We are very interested in the possibility of using more recognizable imagery in things that have a different meaning or a different type of effect on people. You know, but this is the fourth, fifth project that we do using this machine, and every time we're always, you know, messing with it. And you know, I used to build cars for fun. I used to be a hot rodder for a long time. I had a bunch of old cars, but I had a 1929 Ford pickup, which I worked on for quite a while, but you always kind of change something in it, or you don't like the way something works, so you always, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to cut that off and weld a new one in. So this thing has the same kind of approach. We approach it the same way, so we're always either changing the software on it, like updating it so that it works better, or looking at the different hardware bits, like to make them work better, function better. So try to make it a little bit more efficient, and also to increase its potential for the things that it can do, such as hopefully soon enough doing something that has more of an image on it.
Interesting. Yeah, it's the material is actually pretty fascinating. I think it's something that everyone's so familiar with, and you know, taking it out of its normal context and using it in such an, like you said, architectural sort of way. No, actually, I was going to ask you, this is a kind of an interesting sort of little designation, but you call yourselves a design studio, right?
Right.
And then, but what is it you're producing?
Well, I mean, we produce these types of things.
But I mean, is it art?
You know, I always look at things from the point of view of space, and as such, I see it, I guess, more like an architect, perhaps. I try to put myself in the spaces and try to get a sense of their impact somehow, like one way or another. Their impact being, I guess, judged according to what we want them to achieve. But and we also approach like labor and parts management, I guess, more like architects would, right? Because we always try to kind of get a grasp on something before we don't just feel it out as we're building it, like as if you were carving sculpture out of wood or marble, what have you, or clay, whatever.
Well, these are just too complex.
But you could do it by hand. Mm-hmm. The only problem is just they would. Not the problem, but it's just it would require a different approach to doing it, to working on it, and it would probably take much longer to actualized because you just work slower, but it could be done. We just started to do them at such a level in which the complexity becomes almost too great to be able to achieve by hand. So, I mean, we always judge this. I always look at it as I guess as an architect would, although we haven't done really much architecture of what you know, a standard or normal type of architect may consider architecture. For example, like the piece that we've done at Coachella, I see that as architecture. It's just not going to be there for 100 years, not even a week, but right. You know, it'll be there and serve an architectural purpose, which is very specific.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah, because I was just kind of because I see it as being really sculptural, and you know, I was looking online at your website and
yeah.
and the pieces that you have represented there all to me seem really, really sculptural, and I know that
well, we are very interested in that, right. Of course. I mean, like, we don't think that, you know, to be architecture that it necessarily has to have a shingled roof and, for, you know, Western framing and
sure.
stuff like that. But
sure. Well, I guess the reason why I was asking is I think people, when they engage in what you're doing and they have a context within which to place it, I think a lot of times, I'm guessing anyway, that they're gonna struggle with the word architecture, but they might be at ease with the word sculpture.
Yeah.
And so I was just wondering if there was a reason why you, I mean,
we feel more at ease with, like, yeah. say, design or architecture.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I think it's because of just the way that we approach it. I mean, we could also talk about the work, I guess you could say, in sculptural terms or what it means as far as, like, form making or a reaction to, I think maybe people see sculpture as having meaning, like kind of toward that meaning in relationship to society and things like that. And people, maybe most people don't perhaps perceive it. Architecture having the same kind of, it's more of a function, mm-hmm. serves a function, shelter. But, you know, I mean, we like also try to reference the work and think about the work as to what it means and what people are thinking about architecture in the way that maybe a sculptor would kind of reference other sculpture or even like social times, political times, current events, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, they're like, we often sometimes reference kind of current thinking in the architectural world or we've worked in, I guess, in gallery spaces. So I think that the people maybe become predominantly thinking about, like, thinking that they're going to see, or, you know, they're already predisposed to think about it as art, approach it that way.
Right.
So.
What was, I mean, when you came in, when you first saw this space, did you find yourself looking at specific parts of it? I mean, did you, what caught your attention here?
Well, I didn't come to the first site visit. I didn't come. My partner came. I work with the studio. It's Ball Noga Studio. My partner Benjamin Ball is the one that came. He's out of town right now, working on something else. But I mean, oftentimes, just try to get a sense of how it just works and looks, and oftentimes how people come through. So we just try to get a broad understanding of the space, how it functions, how it's meant to function, how it's put together, what's in the way, kind of light, you know, just get basic sense of the place. And then we try to, you know, take those, you know, ideas, and sometimes, you know, we'll try to affect, like, the circulation of the space, or sometimes we'll try to affect, like, your visual kind of connection to something, disrupt it somehow. So, you know, each kind of, that's why they're kind of site specific. Each space is a little bit different. There's different parameters, and so we approach it, each one kind of, we take a look at it and stuff. This one, this space, I think, I mean, the first reaction was to the column grid, and basically, like, working kind of boxed within that column grid. The other thing that was kind of attractive was, like, that it was very dark at first, so it looked like it was very dark, but it's a little bit quite lighter now once they got rid of all the other stuff. But when we came to look at it, there had been a theater was still set up in here, so it was really nice and dark. I'm kind of hoping we can get that back because we've made this really made this piece kind of black on the edges, so that we were kind of attempting to make this the connection go away.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why it's mostly black, or it's most of the stuff you've seen so far is all but black. Mm-hmm. The color starts, it's like a halo of, it's like a circular rainbow light halo.
So when people see it, they won't even necessarily perceive the ends where they're attached physically to the columns.
That had been kind of the hope, because I mean it is kind of a large space to fill up, and a lot of times we try to work with the space in a way in which we kind of elevate it a little bit. So either filling it up, you know, sometimes we attempt to kind of work with architectural features of the space, like the one that we did in MoCA had this very prominent skylight. So we approached that one by filling the skylight basically and having it protrude below the skylight. So most of it, when you first walked into the space, the string, you didn't really see where it came from. So made the connection go away in a way. And this one, this one's much thinner, but we oriented the string sideways. So when you first come in, all you see would be just the straight lines of the string. It wouldn't really have a form as when you look at it side to side. So hopefully by putting it that way, we basically influence somebody to go left or right or approach it and try to kind of walk around it too. Because it changes shape and snaps into view from different locations. So, you know, trying to basically, in a way that an architect would affect the viewer in some way, pull them to a place or make them stop someplace or, you know, kind of shuttle or, you know, influence people along, I guess you could say, in one way or another, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excellent. And how did this commission, I assume it's a commission, how did it come about, you know?
I hope you're not recording this. I don't remember exactly. I think Erin's been a fan of our work, and she approached us about possibly doing something here. And, you know, we're always kind of trying something new, and we just had something that we wanted to try, and it worked out that way. So, yeah.
Good, good, good. And then it's going to be up for the whole month, right?
I think so. Pretty much? Yeah. For I'm terrible at remembering dates, but that's why I have a calendar. But it's up for a whole month. I'm pretty certain.
Right. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
No problem.
It's I hope everyone comes and checks it out. It's even now with just a handful of strings up, it's already looking beautiful.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.